Maryland, and so that's where the Felbers are. And so just be praying for all of them, for safety as they travel, and for Andrew as he takes a new bride. And so, okay, I would like to have you turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin at verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall never enter therein." Verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. You know, I believe that most scripture should be taken literally. That as we open the scripture and we read it, that we're not to allegorize it. We're to take it literally. There are portions that we can tell are not literal, but that's always very obvious when you take it in context. People who allegorize the scripture get into trouble. That's where the cults come from. And so we want to take scripture pretty literally. And I don't think that we ought to read into scripture things that are not there. That too gets us into trouble. And so basically God has given us his word in our language, and he has preserved it for 2,000 years, so he must think it's pretty special. And he gave it to us in a form that can be pretty well understood. And so this morning, I want us to look at this passage of scripture that we just read, that we're going to unfold it, open it up a little bit, and see where it leads us. We need to look deeply at it sometime, but we don't want to distort it or wrest information out of it that's not there, okay? So we're going to, I know that Easter is just 2 weeks away, and normally at this time I'm preaching Easter messages, but the Lord led me in a different direction. So this morning we're going to go a different way. We'll start talking about Easter next week. Okay, next week, which is Palm Sunday. There are just 2 days that you and I can't live in. There are just 2 days that you and I cannot live in. We can't live in yesterday. Now, we can talk about it, we can think about it, we can ponder it in our hearts. And we cannot live in tomorrow. We can plan for that. But there is no guarantee that any of us are going to be given tomorrow. It's not unusual for God to decide, okay, you have fulfilled your purpose on this earth, come on home. And many of us are in an age where this would not be unusual. But even in younger folks, this happens. So 2 days we cannot live in. We cannot live in yesterday, and we should not live in yesterday. And we cannot live in tomorrow. We have to live in today. Now, does that mean that we should not plan for tomorrow? I've already thought about what breakfast I'm going to eat tomorrow. If I have tomorrow. as a local independent Baptist church, I'm also looking for the possibility that Jesus could come back for us. Because the situation demands that. I keep thinking it can't get any worse, and it does. And, you know, my wife used to fuss at the TV. Now she argues with it. So, this morning, I do want us to look at tomorrow. I do want us to make plans with the understanding that there is no guarantee that we will have tomorrow. But tomorrow is not enough. I want to look at the tomorrow after tomorrow and the tomorrow after that and weeks of tomorrows, months of tomorrows, even maybe years of tomorrows. So since we're going to look at tomorrow, let's go to the Lord. Let's ask him to help us see and get a vision for tomorrow. Father, we know you can see the future. We know that you know the future. We know that there are no accidents with you, that you are in control of tomorrow. And so, Father, we come to you asking that you help us to get a vision for tomorrow and for what you might want from each one of us. You have said that you are able to move the hearts of kings as you move rivers. You have said that tomorrow is in your hands. And so, Father, we accept that. And we ask that as you move hearts, that you might move our hearts to be the children you want us to be and to accomplish the purpose for which you have put each one of us here. Thank you, Father, that we can ask this knowing that you hear our prayers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the ministry of Jesus before he gave his life on the cross and he did that for our sins, he healed people. He healed young people. He healed middle-aged people. He healed old people. He even raised people from the dead. And he did all of this to demonstrate the power of God. God's power is not limited. No matter what we think. Tim talked about, you know, Gideon this morning and how he was not bold. He was a little apprehensive. I bought Connie a fleece when she was having so many health problems. And I can just imagine, I can picture Gideon putting that fleece out there to see if it's going to be wet or dry. People, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. So, if we look around this morning, if we continue on the path that we are on as a church, I can assure you that within 10 or 20 years, there's not going to be a church here. There is one young person in this service this morning. You and I are not the future of this church. We're not the tomorrows of this church. but the young person could be. And Jesus tried to get his disciples to understand that children are very necessary. Now, have we done something wrong? No. We haven't. We've been doing everything that we needed to do to prepare for where we are right now. Now, we're going to have to follow the leading of God, and we're going to maybe have to do something a little different. When I read this passage about Jesus saying, you know, let the children, little children come unto me, he was disturbed by the disciples' reaction. They were turning the children away. Now, we haven't done that, and we would be so wrong if we did. God expects us to minister to them. Now, as I look around, I really don't think that any of you are planning on any additional children. So, now maybe one or two of you might. The Lord just hasn't brought that to pass yet. But where are we going to get the children? How are we going to get the children? What are we going to do once we get the children? And this is something that I think we need to look at this morning and think about. Now, there's several ways we can get children. We can kidnap them. We can steal them. Or we can provide a ministry to them where they want to come, where they want to get what we have. And that is the reason, and when I look at this passage of Scripture that we read this morning, it brought to mind some things, and I'll share those with you in just a minute. I want to explain about a ministry that Connie and I were involved with. It was my first church back in 1971, okay? It was in Florida. They had started a little Baptist mission church right in the middle of an Assembly of God campground. There were a lot of teens. But the Assembly of God Church was not ministering to the teens, it was ministering to the adults. And so we started a summer recreation program involving softball and other activities. And by the end of the summer, well, by the way, when we got to the church, there were two young ladies in their early 20s. They were the youngest ones. The rest of them were sort of like us, gray hair, no hair, you know. It's awful for a man to outgrow his hair. But anyway, at the end of the summer, we had about 125 teens and young adults involved in the program, and many of them made professions of faith. And they were coming to church. They were coming to Sunday school. Wouldn't that be great? To my surprise, the deacons met with me, and they said, Brother McBride, we can't do this. This is all wrong. These kids can't help support the church. They're a financial drain on the church. And they wanted to get the kids out. No vision. No vision for what the church needed and where the church needed. Oh, we'd seen some adults saved, yes. We'd seen some baptisms, yes. In fact, the first woman I ever baptized in my ministry wanted to help me, and she was a rather large woman, probably larger than anybody here. And so when we got into the water, into the baptism pool, and I went to lay her back, she threw herself back to help me. Right out of my grip. She made it all the way to the bottom of the tank. And all I could do was take a deep breath and go after her. I didn't want to drown my first baptismal candidate. But you see, they were the older folks in that ministry didn't have a vision for where it needed to go. Let's look at our opening verses again and see what we might learn from this. Matthew 10, 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive this kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, as I look at these verses, I see three groups. Three groups. I see, first of all, the group that brought the children, the parents. Then I see the children as a second group. And then I see the disciples as the third group. And so we need to consider ministry to all of those groups. Let's think about the first group, the ones who brought the children. They came because they wanted something from Jesus. That's why they brought their children. They wanted Jesus to have an impact in that life. They wanted his blessing upon their children. So let's think about this in the light of the illustration that I shared with you just a minute ago about the church in Florida. What would cause people to want to bring children to our ministry? Are we doing anything that should create a desire in people's hearts and people's minds to bring their children here? Could we somehow communicate with the communities around us that this was a good place for children? Can we do that? I know we can. There are two groups that we need to reach. The one who would bring or send children, and the children. Now, there's a reason that I shared that illustration with you about my first experience as a pastor. If a church wants children, it must have a children's ministry. And that is not an easy thing to just say, okay, we're going to have a children's ministry. And Amy, we've talked about this before, okay, with all of us. We have been fixing up our ministry. We have been cleaning up things. We've been fixing things. We've been doing things to prepare our ministry to be able to minister to everybody. It's taken us 3.5 years to get here. We're here. Now it is time for us to begin some new aspects of our ministry. First of all, Connie and I operated a Christian camp for 12 years down on the Rio Grande Valley, right on the near the river. And one summer, we were so concerned about the program that we had, because we might have anywhere from 90 to 150 kids in a week. And we had to have staff for all of that. We had to have food planned for all of that. And we planned, and we made sure everything was just exactly right. You know what the one thing we didn't do? We forgot to pray for children, that the Lord would send anybody. And I remember that first week, what was it, 10 kids, 12 kids? That's all we got. So, first thing we need to start doing as a church, as a ministry, as a family, is praying that God will send us children. Now, I've been praying that a good part of the week since I knew what I was going to be talking about this morning. And God sent us an answer. Praise the Lord. He does answer prayer. So we need to be praying for children, and we need to pray in faith. We need to provide a children's program. We have a program for the younger kids, and some of your leaders are doing a great job. But we also need to begin to prepare for some of the older children. And you say, well, where do we start? There is an organization, Connie and I have worked with them in the past, called Child Evangelism Fellowship. Ever heard of it? Now, maybe not all their stuff is good, but a lot of it is. A lot of it has been developed over the years. And they know what works. They know what doesn't work. And the one thing, folks, is we are not going to compromise. We are not going to take the world's way of doing things and bring it in here. Saw that this morning in the Sunday school lesson. The Israelites kept bringing in the world, kept bringing in the world's idols, kept bringing in the world's... Music was involved in that. And last Wednesday night when we were studying the book of Acts, if you remember the things that the apostles decided that the Gentiles were not to do, eat, you know, drink blood or eat things, eat anything strangled, not to get involved in fornication, and all these things. The reason was that they were in the world, and these were things of the world. We're not going to bring the world in here, people. We spent 3.5 years making sure the world wasn't here. And we're going to continue in that way. But we can reach out to the children through existing programs that work. Now, getting back to our scripture, the people brought children because they wanted something from Jesus. They wanted his blessings upon those children. They wanted the children to be blessed by Jesus, and he did that. And that needs, but he did one other thing. He took them up in his arms. He blessed them, but he also loved them. And that has to be the motive for what we do. We have to love those children. So if we're going to love the children, we're not going to refer to them as crumb snatchers or anything like that, okay? No, they're going to be God's gift. And that's the way we're going to have to treat them, as God's gift. Jesus didn't like them not being accepted by his disciples. So we want to make sure we don't emulate the disciples. We want children. Sometimes they're not going to be perfect. We weren't perfect when we were growing up either. And my sons, I taught them as they were in their late teens, someday your chickens are going to come home to roost. And they did. And some of them are still roosting. And they're not laying any eggs. Okay. But we need to really pray and love and plan. It's too late when they're here. We need to plan ahead of time. Which means that there's going to be some evenings where we're going to have to get together, those who want to be involved in a ministry and with the children, and make not only plans, but implement the plans. Put them into action. That way we're ready. If we don't, as a church, reach children and young people, anybody under 50, yeah. This church is going to die. Hate to think of that, but that's what's going to happen. So I want us to think about what Jesus did. He was active in the way he dealt with the children. He had them come to him. And I don't believe for a minute that any of us are turning children away. We just aren't getting that many children. And I've begun praying for children. So in verse 14 of our passage, he said that those who made up the kingdom of God were like children. They believed what they were told. And most children will, if you tell them the truth. Even if you lie to them, they'll believe you to begin with. And we're certainly not going to lie to anybody. So we want to tell them the truth. God does love them. We've got it on the sign out there. AB's got it in a form that it can actually be read from the road. It took us a while to learn. I say us, he's learned, I've watched. And some of you can get involved now. He knows what needs to happen. But as we look deeper into what Jesus said, it's only later, when a child learns the truth, that he doesn't believe. There are parents that tell their children, well, Santa Claus is coming, so you better be good. And you find the child on Christmas Eve standing at the window watching. And for a few years, we can fool them. Then they find out the truth. And believe it or not, this plants just a little bit of doubt in their mind about mom and dad. They've been lied to. And I think that's where things begin to go awry. So, children tend to believe what they're told until they learn the truth. And believe it or not, doesn't matter how old they are able to recognize truth, just like we can. Then Jesus did something that was very important. Like I said, he loved them. He really loved them. And he blessed them. And so we're ready. I don't see anybody here this morning who would not love a child. Nobody. We're all ready. Just give us a child. So we're going to have to do something about that. I have been inquiring several different places around the country. What do we need to do to get out and reach children? How do we start? Where do we start? Well, I've got a suggestion. Okay? So think about this as I talk about it a little bit. We're not going to adopt the ways of the world again. We're not going to give them loud, raucous music. We're going to stay with the old hymns, the good hymns. They carry a message from God's Word. But we still need to get to be where the children are. So, one of the things we're going to need to do is we're going to need to look for a person who is a little younger than your pastor by about 40 years, okay? Or more. Someone who loves children. Someone who God has called to be a minister to children. And they're going to have to be involved. I like children. And when we had the officers across the way and I was conducting the chapel for the preschool, and they would come in here once a week and I'd get to share with them some Bible stories and things. I loved it when I would walk through there and one would come out and grab me by the leg with a hug. They knew I loved them. And as we get children, they'll know we love them. They will. But how do we get involved? Well, we need to be looking for someone. I know that there's some looking being done already. And be praying that God will give us just the right person. Then, I heard of a church here in the Charleston area many years ago did this. I don't know if we can still do it. We'll try it. We'll see. I don't have a whole lot of time to work with children because of the administration of our ministry. It may not look big, but it's busy. There's always a lot of stuff going on. So, who's going to have to be involved? You. I heard of a church that they needed children. They were exactly like we are at right now. They had the facilities. There was a gymnasium. They had everything they needed except children. So they went to one of the local elementary schools and met with the principal and asked this question, what can we do to help you here at the school? We want to be a part of it. We're not going to preach at your people. We're not going to preach at the kids. We want to be here to help. If you have a problem child, maybe we can become a friend of that child. Maybe we can go over and eat lunch with them once in a while. Just to be a friend. And through that, they started ministering to that school. They wrote letters to all of the teachers in that school telling them how much they appreciated them. And asking them, how can we pray for you? And pretty soon they had some prayer requests. Pretty soon they said, could you spend some time with this child? They don't have a father. They don't, you know, it's a one-parent family. Can you come help with that family? Can you help meet some of the needs of that family? Now we have to do it cautiously. We have to do it, remember, decently and in order, appropriately and on time. So we don't want one man ministering to a mother all by herself. Things happen that way. So we need multiple people involved. Just for the sake of the mother, for the sake of appearance. And then they wrote a second letter to the teachers. And in that second letter, they told them how they were praying for them, how they were appreciated. And they were encouraging the teachers. How many parents encourage the teachers? Not too many. Well, some of the families began to come to the church because they cared for their children. And that church is a thriving church today. So that's something that we could do, but it's going to take people to do it. Not just talk, but actions. And somebody who has a call upon them to minister to children. A lot of us have got a lot of experience with kids. We can be good with kids. We can help the children. But the bottom line is this, folks. We need to find a way to interact with the community. And I believe that starting with one of our elementary schools here in the area would be a good way to do that. A way to really reach out. But, like I said, a children's program is going to take people, and it's going to take a little time to get everything in place, so we probably won't be able to get the program fully operational until next fall, when school starts again. But we can approach the school now while it's still in session and make ourselves available. And maybe during the summer, they will incorporate our availability into the policies of the school. Maybe we just go read to the children. We spend some time. We invest some time. We invest ourselves. Like I said, Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF, has some tremendous programs for different age children. They're developed. They've been using them for years and years. So we could become a real asset to the school system. That's a way we can do things. And speaking of schools, I know where there's a school very close by. We saw a little fruit from that school this morning. Why don't we start there? Why don't we start there? And see what the Lord does. The deacons and I just need to know who's willing, who will volunteer their time, make an investment of their time, and we cannot begin our ministry without the Lord's people being involved. So my question this morning would be, are you willing to become a part? Are you willing to make that investment in your church family, in your church? And that's between you and the Lord. Would he give you a call? Would he call upon you to do something like that? All I can do is suggest. I've already got my plate full. Let me know. Pray about it. Seek God's will about it. We've got to do this, folks, if we're going to survive. God has given us some tremendous facilities. And we want to use them for his glory. We want to use them for his purpose. So pray with me. Pray that God will send children. pray that God will direct us as to how to minister to those children, and that we might become an active part of not only this school, River Point Christian Academy, that we might become an active part of one of our local elementary schools, of which we have several very close by. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the illustrations of what Jesus did. And Father, we would ask this morning that you would help us to be like Jesus. Father, we know it's not the things that we do. That means nothing. But Father, it's the things that you do in our hearts. It's the things that you lead us to through the power of your Holy Spirit that matter. So Father, help us to become a dynamic part of the local communities through the school systems, through the children that you will bring our way. And may we do your will in your way and in your time. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.